This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. In case you couldn't tell, I'm in a fancy car today. So I'm going to scooch this back just a little bit. Hopefully that will be better. I am still in a rental car. Let's see. I was in a rental car last week, but it was Wednesday to Wednesday. And then I was in my mother-in-law's car when I did the podcast. This week, I'm in a rental car from Friday to Friday. So I take it back tomorrow. And then I'll be driving a Tesla for a while here. So that will be fancy. So maybe the podcast will be in the Tesla next week, which will be even quieter. So we'll see. We'll see. That should be fun. All is well. All is well. We are at work in the middle of buttoning up the year, 2022. That seems to all be going fine. The work is getting done. Probably cash receipts is going to close on Monday, maybe Tuesday. There was a big surge right at the last minute. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be harvesting all the expense reports, getting them all ready to go, and hopefully that will go fine. And then probably the rest of close will happen midweek next week, and if all that goes fine, then we'll be buttoned up for the year and into the new year. We have several things on the agenda right out of the gate to get done, some alterations for start of year, and then we have some little hoops to jump through and things to do. But you know what, it seems like we're ready and seems like all the pieces are in place. I am dropping back in now to a writing sprint. This is the first week in 2023. So it is the 5th today, which means on the 5th of the month, I get to roll my countdown down another month, which means I have 2 years and 6 months until I retire. So, and that also means I have three more. If all goes well and I don't get let go, I have three more end of years to help with. So after next week, if all goes well, I will have two more. So there you go. So it's all very exciting. You know, God's been good this year. He's just been so good. And he has helped us. We've had some excitement here and there, but he's just always been there with enough ideas that we've been able to get done what we need to get done. And missionaries have been paid, and the work goes forth, and it's good. All is well. The writing is going fine. As I said, I'm back in a writing sprint. This is the second half of book 18. That seems to be going fine. I normally wouldn't do any writing tonight because it would be small groups, but small groups aren't starting up until next week. So I have a bit of free time that I intend to take advantage of. I do have one small repair that I need to do on the costume for tomorrow. But aside from that, I'm going to hurry home and get some supper and then get some writing done so I can get that small repair done. This is one of the weeks when I'm shuffling things. So the writing is fine. I think I know what's supposed to happen in the rest of this book, and you know, we'll go from there. I think I know what's supposed to happen, and what I'm trying to accomplish in this book. So get that done, move on. As far as the costumes go, this is a shuffle week for me. The way everything fell in 2023, I'm actually needing to shuffle weeks around, which is a little unusual. So, for instance, tomorrow, it will be January the 6th. Under normal circumstances, I would probably be celebrating National Argyle Day, which would be the jester's costume. Or maybe it would be Polka Dot Day. I can't remember. I think it's National Argyle Day is what I would normally do in this slot. But, the first Friday the 13th actually occurs as soon as it is possible for it to occur this year, which means that January the 13th is actually a Friday. The first Friday the 13th of the year is Blame It on Someone Else Day. So I didn't do Blame It on Someone Else Day last year because it fell, I think, on Mother's Day. I think it fell somewhere weird. But since it does fall next week in January, I decided I'd kind of shuffle things around a little bit and actually do Blame It on Someone Else Day because it's a fun costume. That's the one where it's Bridezilla's evil step-cousin, which is Bridasaurus Rex. And so it's a fun costume. People enjoy it. So I'm going to do that next week, which means that Friday or January the 13th, which is Rubber Ducky Day, is actually getting pulled back, and I'm celebrating Rubber Ducky Day tomorrow. And that's a fun costume, and people seem to enjoy that. So it was the question of whether or not I wanted to do National Argyle Day or Rubber Ducky, and I chose Rubber Ducky because people get a big kick out of the Rubber Ducky costume. I think I was watching my video from last year, and I think last year there were people that had... I don't know if that was one of the ones where they proclaimed their love for me. I think that I was also told that I was the best human ever for wearing that costume. So people do enjoy it. And so, sure, why not? Let's do Rubber Ducky Day. But unfortunately, the wash brush that I have, which is kind of a long brush with a long-handled wooden brush for washing your back, it has a rubber ducky on it, and that rubber ducky popped off a couple of days ago when I was trying on the costume, because you use hot glue and eventually hot glue gives up the ghost, and it gave up the ghost. So I just have to go ahead and glue it back on. If I get very industrious, which I don't think I'm going to, I would just put a couple of holes in it and put it on with a zip tie so it would never come off again, but, you know, probably won't do that, because I'm working on National Hemp Day today, so I have things to do. The National Hemp Day costume is coming along. I've managed to get 2 lengths of rope secured from my waist down. And so I have to do the other 3. Then once I have them in place, I'll do the upper half of the body. And at this point, with only 2, I can still get it on and off. I am a little concerned with how the ropes are laying. We'll see. I may have miscalculated a little bit. Might have to adjust. We'll see. I hope not. But, you know, if I have to adjust, I have to adjust. It's fine. So that's all going fine. Costumes. I'm collecting pieces for the National Nude Day costumes. So that's going well. I've got my boots in. Got my gloves in. I've got the rhinestone suits are in. Just waiting on another cowboy hat. I had ordered a cowboy hat that seemed a little weird, but, you know, I thought, oh, that'll be fine, and I got it in, and I realized it was an Australian cowboy hat. And so I showed it to my wife. What do you think? She said, well, it's fine. I said, in other words, it's not really. No, she said, it's styled. Okay, fine. Just sent it back. Got another one that's closer. That costume should be a pretty easy build. But it's a matter of getting it done and accounting for all the expansion points, etc., etc. I do have some boots that I got from China that will work. They're just ankle boots that will work for decorating, but they are tight. I mean, they are the right size, but they're cowboy boots, and so you got to work a little bit to get them on, and you got to work a little bit to get them off. And if I decorate them with rhinestones and such, I have to make sure that I have enough expansion in the boots remaining that I can get them on and off without ripping something. So a little challenge there. And honestly, the National Hemp Day is still a challenge, wrapping all the rope around and getting it to sit right. I thought I had that all figured out, but I'm suspecting now that I may have a couple of places that I need some adjustment on, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, you know, step at a time. So all that is well. This 2023 is just going to be such an interesting year. Just such an interesting year. But I am determined this year to continue to testify to the goodness and playfulness of God. Because He's with us. He's with us. And I think I mentioned in one of the previous podcasts that I did do a 4-day fast over Christmas. So I stopped eating Sunday night and started eating Thursday night. Wasn't fully a 96 hours. It was more like 93 or something like that. But, you know, close enough. And I have to say, I really haven't seen any negative side effects from it, and it feels like there are some positive effects from it. I mean, aside from the weight loss, which of course you're going to have. I did see 169 for the first time in many months, after doing that, last week. And I still, you know, a week later, it's still okay. So we'll see how that goes. So I don't know. I've got in the back of my mind that one of the things I could do is start maybe taking the last week of every month and just doing a 4-day fast there. Supposedly you do get benefit once you get up above 52 hours, and my 240-hour fast a week, you know, never get to that benefit because I start eating after 44 hours. So we'll see. Jesus knows. And He will help us. He will talk to us. And I came across an article that is actually a couple of years old, but as I was reading it, my reaction was, well, yeah, this is Jesus. Maybe we don't call it Jesus, and maybe we make up other excuses for what is happening there, but this feels like Jesus to me, because Jesus loves people, and His Holy Spirit. When I say Jesus, I'm really using that as a generic term for God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. From a technical, structural viewpoint, it is most likely the Holy Spirit, because He is our helper who has been sent to be alongside us as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so certainly I acknowledge and recognize and appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, and the fact that it is likely the Holy Spirit who is communicating with me. But by the same token, I know that the Holy Spirit wishes to point us to the lover of our souls, who is Jesus. And so, in a generic sense, the Holy Spirit understands that. And when I say Jesus, the Holy Spirit understands that when I say Jesus, I mean the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. So, but anyways, so this article was talking about the serendipity mindset. How to make your own luck. I don't think I've talked about this before. I may have talked about it from another article, but I didn't recognize this article. The article was written by Sharon Walker. It was actually published in September of 2020.
Which,
in light of COVID, is an interesting time to be publishing an article. But the subtitle of the article is Seeing Meaning in the Unexpected Can Help Turn Mistakes into Opportunity, says researcher Dr. Christian Busch. So the author starts off the article by saying Christian Busch has had a lucky life. He narrowly escaped a catastrophic car accident at age 18. The car was wrecked, but he walked away without a scratch. It was a wake-up call that he needed. Quote, I turned my life around. Before that, I had been reckless, a teenager who lived in the moment, having fun. The accident instilled a sense of urgency to find meaning. So, out of this accident now, you've got a young man who is determined to find meaning. And it's amazing to me how that in this situation, simply that acknowledgement that there is meaning. My little recorder kind of slid to the side there when I went around the corner. I'm going to straighten this up a little bit. There we go. You know, simply on the basis of that, things start happening. So the author goes on to say that luck continued to play a positive role in his life. An accidental coffee spillage in Starbucks led to a romance. One moment, lots of traffic, here we go. Led to a romance, and though the person in question is no longer his girlfriend, they are still close. In his work as an entrepreneur, researcher, and community builder, he co-founded several social enterprises and teaches at both New York University and the London School of Economics, enjoying plenty of lucky breaks along the way. But Busch noted that he wasn't the only lucky one among his friends and colleagues. In fact, many of the most successful and happiest people he has encountered also seem to be on a permanent lucky streak. The author goes on to explain, it wasn't so much that they were forever winning the lottery or escaping high-speed accidents, more that they seemed to have an eye for the main chance and making the most of the unexpected. In other words, they made their own luck. It's a skill that Dr. Busch explores in his book, Serendipity is Smart, Active Luck. Explores in his new book, sorry. And this is a quote for him. Serendipity is smart, active luck. It's when you see something in the unexpected and connect the dots. It's different from blind luck, which you can't really influence. Now, so what is the mechanism that he's talking about? The mechanism that he's talking about is that you're going along, experiencing life, experiencing events, and in the midst of that, you have a flash of insight. So he goes on to explain, unforeseen events, chance meetings, and bizarre coincidences aren't just minor distractions or specks of grit in our well-ordered lives. The unexpected is often the critical factor. It is often the force that makes the greatest difference in our lives. And of course, you can find many, many examples through human history of strange accidents that lead to discoveries of seemingly unconnected things that suddenly connect. There's all sorts of examples of things that were unintentionally found. But Dr. Bush says that the first step to finding these things and making the most of them is to build an awareness of the unexpected. So he says, quote, "The idea is to see meaning in the unexpected rather than to see it as something that's anxiety producing." Now, when I hear words like that, it's like, oh. So in other words, what you're saying is, my interpretation of what you're saying is this. You're going along in life. There's some kind of a jarring thing that happens. You encounter a problem. You encounter something unexpected. And you've got a couple of choices. You can, at that point, decide that you are going to, just checking for mail, not here yet. You can, at that point, decide, for town for a bit. Cool. That was from my son-in-law. We're going to get my phone hooked up. Hold on a minute. Let me just do this. When are you leaving? Just made it home. But I can connect with you later. Oh, not weekend are you leaving? When are you leaving? Oh, man. Okay. All right. Okay. So, what he's saying is that as we're going through life, things are going to happen. And they might be unexpected. They might be different than what we wanted. They might be a disappointment. They might be trouble. All those things. It's possible for all those things to happen. He's saying what we should do is, instead of allowing that moment to be an anxiety-producing moment, what we can do is to see meaning in that. So he says, I'm a German who's used to planning. Everything that is unexpected is anxiety producing, but it helps to reframe it into, oh, that doesn't need to be a threat. There can be something beautiful in the unexpected, even if it doesn't feel like it at the moment, if we can attune ourselves to the idea that the unexpected can be our ally. We can turn it into something if we connect the dots. Of course, it's thrilling when discoveries are sparked in the moment, rather than through labored planning, but what does he mean by connecting the dots? That's when apparently unconnected events come together in front of you to form a new pattern. I think my son-in-law just left, so I'll just connect with him later. It'll be fine. Yeah, I think I saw him go. Crucially, the insight, the innovation, or a new solution to the problem is not what was expected. So that's cool. Let me get into the garage here and shut down the little buggy. It helps if you have laid some groundwork. Quote, cultivating serendipity first and foremost is about looking at the world with open eyes and seeing opportunities others don't. It's not just about being in the right place at the right time. I don't know. Hey, there's the button. And having something happen to us, blind luck, but rather a process by which we can actively be involved. Bush gives the example of entrepreneur and blogger Nathaniel Whittlemore, stranded unexpectedly in London in 2010. After an erupting Icelandic volcano grounded thousands of flights with an ash cloud. While many of us might have done a spot of sightseeing, Whittemore realized that he wasn't the only social entrepreneur stuck in London after the Skoll World Forum on social entrepreneurship. London was chock full of exceptional people stranded and twiddling their thumbs. Within 36 hours, Whittemore had organized a TEDx Volcano Conference with 200 attendees, world-class speakers, including eBay's first president, Jeff Skoll, and a live stream watched by 10,000 people. Okay. If you're savvy about it, you can even seed opportunities for serendipity, for example, by giving people you meet a hook or opening. So Bush says there's always that dreaded question where you say, oh, so what do you do? He says, or you can say, well, I'm a journalist, and just recently I started reading about philosophy, and what I'm really interested in is exploring science. Says this is something that educational entrepreneur Ollie Barrett does. He gives you three potential hooks. He's seeding potential dots so that you can connect them. You could respond, oh, what a coincidence. I just started reading a book on philosophy and I want to set up a book club, et cetera, et cetera. So now you got the ball rolling. He also says, for example, if you go into a coffee shop and have erratic hand movements like me, you can strike up a lot of conversations with the person next to you. Or you might spill the coffee and not follow up, so we miss it. That's one of the things I'm most fascinated by, how often we miss serendipity. How often do you feel a connection and not do anything about it? When Bush gave his first draft of the book to his publisher, they asked him specifically to add more personal stories, love stories specifically. He said, I said, I'm 35 and single. Maybe I'm not the best person. And then I met my girlfriend straight after that and asked her, do you know of any separate serendipitous love stories? And she said, yes, ours. We're not together, but we put each other on this beautiful trajectory in life and we're an amazing emotional spark for each other. It gave me a different view of what constitutes success. In COVID times, love stories are off the agenda. So what does he see as a viable alternative? Now, before I get to that part, let me then just recap my interpretation of what's actually happening here. We know that anxiety, at least in my interpretation, anxiety is really an enemy that shuts down your not only your ability to think, but it also shuts down your ability to hear. And it's crucially important to be able to hear. Because if you hear, you can take advantage of those moments. Now then, so is there just this amorphous cloud of serendipity out here? Is it all just positive thinking? Is it all just happenstance that you can capitalize on? Or is it the Holy Spirit's work in people's lives, whether they name the name of Jesus or not, people's lives, that the Holy Spirit is working with them, wanting them to be successful because the Holy Spirit loves them? And if you simply reduce the amount of anxiety in your life, you will be able to hear the Holy Spirit better. And if you hear the Holy Spirit better, things will be more serendipitous, simply because of the nature of what the Holy Spirit does for us. So my interpretation of this creating your own luck is really more that looks something like, if we can be quiet as we move through life, if we can rely on his kindness and his ability to help us, if we understand that there might be interruptions and there might be unexpected failures, but in those moments, he will whisper to us and he will guide us and he will help us, then when we encounter those, we're ready. We're ready to hear. And if we hear, the unexpected then can turn into a path that leads us in better places. And sometimes we can actually create environments that open up situations that allow us to be in those places that are unexpected. So I said just before I stopped reading, the author of the article said, in COVID times, coffee shop love stories are off the agenda. So what does Dr. Bush see as a viable alternative? Quote, grocery stores could work. Everybody still needs to go, and I've bumped into a number of people there when dropping something. So in other words, what he's saying is that when you are out in public, you can be aware of those around you, and if something happens and there is a response from someone else, perhaps you can use that as an opportunity to open a conversation. Or you could wear crazy socks or a funny t-shirt or a costume or some kind of great hat. And you could keep your head up. And you could look for opportunities, and you could encounter people, and then in a very loving and kind and generous way, you could have a little conversation. And who knows what might come out of those conversations, and what small, joyous moment you might be able to share, and who knows what richness that might bring to your life. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.